Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on Jacqueline, J A Q U E L I N E, and Dino, A N D I N O. Jacqueline and Dino was accompanied to the evaluation by Ellie, E L I E, Rosenblatt, who is a professional translator. According to the information obtained from the examinee through the translator, she is a 45-year-old woman who alleges around June 2020 she was injured at work. She was lifting a heavy lifting a heavy tray with food on it, but as a result, she believes she injured her left arm, wrist, elbow, and shoulder, but did not go to the emergency room afterwards. She did have further evaluation and treatment, including surgery on the wrist, elbow, and arm on 7/31/20. Berchi completed a course of active treatment in approximately December 2020. New paragraph. As per her claim petition, Ms. Andino alleges that performing job duties caused right cubital tunnel syndrome and right carpal tunnel syndrome. Berchi then amended her claim to allege left carpal tunnel syndrome. As per the records provided, she was seen at Jefferson Health by a nurse practitioner on 2/26/18, but this was for left knee pain that had gotten worse the last few days. About a year ago, she had fallen and landed on the knee, and since then had discomfort. She fell again 1 week ago. She had been to the emergency room and was placed in an immobilizer. She was referred for x-rays and continued on ibuprofen. Ms. Andino continued to be seen by this primary care practice over the ensuing many months for a variety of general medical ailments. There was an occasional orthopedic complaint. In 7/18/18, she complained of right first and third finger pain and numbness for the past month after a fall on her hand. It affects her sleep and causes much discomfort at work as she works as a chef. She was using ibuprofen that did not help with the numbness. She was restarted on levothyroxine for her hypothyroidism. She was referred for laboratory studies. At follow-up on 8/8/18, she reported she fell at work, kind of pushed by a cart by another co-worker. She fell back and was hit by the cart on her left. She went to the emergency room, who gave her an injection and some x-rays as well as an MRI. She admits to an injury to her meniscus and also had some effusion of the knee. She was seen by an orthopedist the previous day who injected her knee. The nurse practitioner started her on a splint for right hand pain that did not seem like carpal tunnel syndrome. Berchi also was referred for specialist consultation. New paragraph on 1/15/20. She continued to be seen when the provider wrote, as much as Ms. Andino claims compliance with her medications, she doubted this was the case. She refilled her prescription for Synthroid. Along the way, Ms. Andino was diagnosed with other medical conditions. For example, on 6/12/20, she carried a diagnosis of prediabetes, for which metformin was to be discontinued. On 6/12/20, listed diagnoses also included a acute cervical sprain and lumbar sprain, as well as the acquired hypothyroidism and prediabetes. Period. On 10/14, 20 diagnoses included right hand pain and right carpal tunnel syndrome. Period. At follow-up, on that visit, she stated she had right hand pain, finger and pain, and tingling and numbness that had been worse over the last week. Period. She had the same complaint several months ago and was prescribed a cock-up splint, which she had not been using. Period. On this occasion, she was also diagnosed with carpal tunnel syndrome on the right, for which she was referred for an EMG and prescribed tramadol. Period on 11/4/20. They were still waiting for the EMG. Period on 2/24/21. Ms. Andino was status post right carpal tunnel release. She recently went back to work, doing strenuous work as a chef. Period. She was advised to perform exercises and use ibuprofen as needed. Period. Her pain had worsened after returning to work and felt different than what she was experiencing before surgery. Period. Her hand feels tired and weak. Period. On 3/30/21, she was status post right carpal tunnel release, having been diagnosed with bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome. Period. She had a splint for her left hand, but she did not have a splint for her left hand, but had one for the right. Period. She then was referred for hand specialist consultation with Dr. Franco, F-R-A-N-C-O. Period. 9/17/21, she had a preoperative evaluation for a tummy tuck procedure scheduled on 9/17/21 in the Dominican Republic. Period. On 9/17/21, she complained of left lower back pain radiating down the left leg after moving too quickly. Period. She takes naproxen with no relief. Period. Her abdominal surgery was scheduled for 10/18/21. Period. Ongoing care was rendered here through 1/31/22. Period. New paragraph. Ms. Andino was seen by hand specialist Dr. Franco on 11/5/21. She complained of right wrist pain and carpal tunnel. Period. She had numbness and tingling in the right thumb, index finger, and long finger for the past 3 years. The pain was 10/10 at times and improved with rest. The splint she had was no longer working. Period. He referenced nerve testing that showed right carpal tunnel syndrome with decreased amplitude at the wrist and forearm. Period. The plan was to pursue open carpal tunnel release surgery. Period. We are not in receipt of its report, but on 4/9/21 he wrote she had undergone this procedure. Period. On 4/9/21 she was diagnosed with left carpal tunnel syndrome and pronator syndrome. Period. They elected to pursue open carpal tunnel release and possible lacertus, L-A-C-E-R-T-U-S, release. as a safe, minimally invasive first step. Period. She would also need time off from work. Period. She went on to have this procedure on the left hand, but we are not in receipt of that report. Period. On 11/30/20, she may have had revision median nerve carpal tunnel surgery with neuroplasty and slash or transposition of the median nerve. Period. This was revised yet again on 8/2/21 on the left. Period. The first one was on the right. Period. Dr. Frankel monitored her care through 10/26/22. Period. He added diagnosis of left thumb CMC pain as well as bilateral trigger thumbs with pain. Period. Cortisone injection was given. Period. Physical exam. General appearance, the examinee had vitiligo diffusely. Period. Extremities upper. She wore nail extensions bilaterally. Period. Motion of the left shoulder was guarded to 90 degrees of abduction and flexion with complaints of tenderness but no crepitus. Period. Motion of the shoulders, elbows, wrists, and fingers was otherwise full in all spheres without crepitus, tenderness, triggering, or locking. Period. Manual muscle testing was volitionally limited to 4/5 throughout the entire left upper extremity, but was 5/5 on the right. Period. She was tender to palpation at the left forearm along its ulnar aspect near her scar. Period. This was a fleshy area. Period. She was also tender at the left acromioclavicular joint. Period. Hands, wrists, elbows. Phalen's and Finkelstein's maneuver elicited pain from the left thumb, radiating retrograde to the shoulder that is non-physiologic, but were negative on the right. The rest of that is normal, and then shoulders normal, spine cervical normal, and thoracic normal. Impressions. Jacqueline Andino has claimed that her routine occupational tasks caused permanent disability in both upper extremities. She currently references a traumatic injury. Records from her primary care physicians ascertained a history of a fall that occurred at home onto the right hand. Period. In any event, she carried diagnoses of hypothyroidism and prediabetes. Period. These are known personal risk factors for the development of carpal tunnel syndrome and other peripheral neuropathies. Period. She eventually came into the hand specialist care of Dr. Franco. Period. In 11/30/20, he performed right carpal tunnel release. Period. He performed left carpal tunnel release on 8/2/21. Period. She followed up with him, and at the end of treatment had been diagnosed with bilateral trigger thumb. Period. New paragraph, the current examination did not find there to be any triggering of her fingers. Period. She had a 1-inch healed scar on the medial aspect of the left proximal forearm. Period. A similar scar was noted on the right. Period. She had open surgical scarring about the left volar wrist as well. Period. She did have guarded range of motion about the left shoulder, where provocative maneuvers were negative. Period. She had intact strength and sensation. Period. Phalen's and Finkelstein's maneuver non-physiologically elicited pain in the thumb radiating to the shoulder. Period. New paragraph. There is 5% permanent partial disability referable to each hand. Period. This is for the orthopedic residuals of carpal tunnel syndrome. Appear there's also 5% permanent partial disability referable to the right elbow for cubital tunnel syndrome repaired surgically. Period. And that is the end.